Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Saturday Burnt Toast and Coffee Show with apologist William Hemsworth on the Four Persons Network. William is passionate about teaching the faith. He is a convert that attended a Baptist seminary. He is a father and a catechist that will encourage you to live the faith, evangelize, and defend it. To call into the show, the number is 515-602-9655. Once again, the phone number to call into the show is 515-602-9655. Ladies and gentlemen, William Hemsworth.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Burnt Toast and Coffee Show. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you all on this week's show. I have a very special show for you all today. I have my good friend J.M. Kramer of the Lego Church Project. He's going to come on in just a little bit. And we're going to talk about all the great stuff he's doing over at the Lego Church Project. We're going to talk about evangelization, maybe some disability awareness. And we're going to talk about a very cool person in the life of the church, Blessed Solanus Casey. Now, if you're not familiar with the Lego Church Project, obviously we're going to hear about it a lot more from our good friend here. But wow, when I, John and I, we've been following each other on Twitter for a few years now. And to be honest, this is, I think, our seventh show that we're going to be doing. The rest of them are over on my YouTube channel, The Bible Catholic. But my goodness, when I came across John's profile on Twitter all those years ago and I saw him building all these magnificent churches out of Legos, like I was just flabbergasted. It was just such an amazing sight to see, especially when I'm one of those people that has very little artistic talent. And I guess the only thing I can make out of Legos is like a log, you know, just something that's straight lined. I can't do much with it. But without further ado, bring on John Kramer here. John, how are you doing today?
I'm not doing too bad. Thank you for having me once again.
Well, you know, it's my pleasure. And I've had this show a couple months now, and I've always said, I got to get John back on. And then when you messaged me a couple days ago, I was like, you know what? Let's talk about it right now. So we'll take my shot, and here you are. So always great to have you on. How you been? You been doing pretty good?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Thanks be to God for all things.
Well, amen to that. Well, there's a segment I always like to do at the top of the show. It's just the saint of the day. And I know you have a very special connection with Blessed Solanus Casey. So I was wondering if you can tell our listeners a little bit about this great man of God.
This is a humble spirit in the purest sense of it. He was a Capuchin monk who spent a lot of time in a couple different places, but he is highly respected in Detroit, where he was a doorman at the monastery over that way. And he had a very deep love of the faith, a love of interacting with people. He was also known for his deep sense of wisdom and the fact that he was able to help so many people. Who came through the doors of the monastery for various reasons. He's also part of the reason why there's a Capuchin soup kitchen down that way, because he had a love of serving the poor. He wanted to help those around him. And he had his own learning challenges. He had a hard time with his studies, and yet here he is today, truly. He's someone you inspire to be because of that humble spirit, that willing to give of himself and basically sharing with what God has given him. The love of the faith shines through him in what he was doing, and even to this day. And that's something that I kind of take to my own heart and within my own work with the Lego Church Project.
Great. No, I understand correctly. He's made a couple appearances in your projects, right?
Yes. The first time I used the photo was back in season 18, which would have been 2017, which was around the same time they announced his beatification. I reused the photo for season 20, And now I'm using, reusing it again for season 24. And when it's not inside the project, I have a little photo box for it that I keep in my living room.
Okay. Now, I know in one of our past episodes, you said that you had a personal connection to him. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, both my grandparents on both sides of the family had interactions with him. So growing up, I probably knew about Father Solanas before a lot of people did, because my mom's mom used to talk about him all the time. When she was growing up, she used to live right across the street from the monastery and would sometimes go over as a little girl over to say hello. So there's definitely some direct connections to the family, which is very important to me in that respect.
Yeah, how cool would it be, you know, to say that, especially when God willing, he is canonized, that, you know, your family has this connection to a canonized saint. That'd be pretty cool to say.
That would be very cool. And I also know that during the beatification mass, we had some family members that were actually in attendance when they had, they had it in Ford Field in Detroit.
So have you talked to your family members about that experience?
I have not.
Okay.
But that's just because of the nature of things that have always been going on. Lifetimes gets a little interrupted sometimes.
Okay, I gotcha. Understand. So thank you for sharing with us about Blessed Solanus Casey. And Blessed Solanus Casey, please pray for us and pray for his canonization as well. So the Lego Church Project, I mean, this is your 24th season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
What got you start? Well, that's amazing. What got you started in this whole thing?
Well, growing up, I've always been into Lego, and my friends were always building these elaborate spaceships, and unfortunately for me, I was never good at that. So I kind of started, even when I was younger, I started building these rudimentary buildings that eventually turned into these churches. And part of the reason for that is because I spent a good number of years living in the original parish rectory for St. Helens in Saginaw. So Mass was a constant part of our lives. We would be going back and forth to the church. We literally walked to church. That's how close we were. So the church was the foundation, and it kind of reflected through in what I was doing. What it turned from a childhood thing into this ministry, which took many years to do, as I started doing public displays. The first time I took season, which eventually became season one, I took it to the Mount Zion Pastoral Center in Flushing, Michigan, which is where we were attending Mass at the time. And so and over the years, I've kind of evolved the project. Each year is a new season. And just for your audience, just so they know, what I do is I build a giant church of my own design out of Lego, display it at a couple locations in the area, tear it down, and start the process all over again. So 24 years, 24 different buildings that I've done.
So where do you get the inspiration for these churches?
Thanks to the powers of the internet, I happen to study a lot of different parishes. I see a lot of pictures that people post. I also have had a chance to study some of the places that I've been to, either as a visitor for some other function or for a project display. So the inspiration comes from everywhere. I like to see what the churches are doing. I try and keep things as faithful as I can within the scope of Lego, which can be a challenge at times.
Oh, sure. Now, for those listening, the churches that you're building, they're not just Lego. I mean, you put a lot of detail. I mean, you put people in them. You put lights, like all these types of things. What is the process like of building one of these churches?
The process can be a epic challenge because I never know what I'm going to actually build until I sit down and start praying at the bricks. I may have in my head a laundry list of what I want to see done for this particular project, and God will say, nope, you're going in a different direction. basically what it starts off with is I start off with the basic layout, the template. And one of the first things I try and figure out is the scope and scale of what the altar is going to be. Because really the church is actually kind of built around that altar. That becomes the focal point of what I'm trying to accomplish. And from there, everything just kind of flows naturally from that. And then, of course, you have the challenge of trying to rig the lights. The 250 number of figures that are placed inside. The number is constantly changing because I keep adding new figures every year.
That's all right. Putting more people in the pews, which is all of our goal, right?
It's a prayer. It truly is a prayer. In fact, that's one of the most, whenever I'm doing a public display, that's usually one of the first comments people say, that the church is full of people. Yeah, that's on purpose. That is a hope and a prayer that people would actually make the Mass a priority and take some time out of their weekend and spend it before God, being part of the parish community.
Amen to that. So how many Legos on average do one of your churches take to make?
I want to guess around 25,000 pieces, depending. And what a lot of that comes from is I know on the tile work of the floors, the little one-by-one rounds, I use at least about 1,000 of those just alone on the floors for all the extra details. And then there's also structure that people may not notice, particularly of how everything gets tied together, both for the lower half and then later on in the upper half where the roof grid sits. Those are made of multiple rows of plates that kind of stack together and lock everything into place. So for the most part, once the project is built, it is fairly structurally sound, mostly. Moving it is a two-person job, though.
Yeah, and that leads me into my other question. How do you get these displays? Well, first of all, where do you get locations for these displays, and how do you get them there?
Usually the best way for a display to happen is that a parish would reach out to me. They have heard about my work. They're interested in learning what I'm doing. And they may be interested in having me talk about faith and disability, which are the areas that I focus on. From there, we can set up a weekend. And if the parish or other site is interested in providing the transportation, then we can come and grab the project, bring me out, and I can do a display. And I'll usually have a contact person within that parish that will kind of help coordinate things. Sometimes I'll even provide the transportation needed. Those are some of the best displays because it means that I truly am invited to come out, and it makes things a lot smoother when you feel truly welcome at where you're going to be at for a little bit.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So once you're at these parishes, what typically happens? Like, are you there for a couple days? Are you sitting there while people come up and watch it and look at it? How's it work?
Typically, for a typical parish display, I will usually, lately, the last couple ones that I've done is I will usually do a short presentation either before Mass or at the end of Mass. Sometimes I can do a larger, longer presentation following Mass, and what I'll do is I'll set up a spot that's inside the usual entryway of the church or some other suitable location, and I'll be available to answer questions and make sure that there's nothing going on with the project. And I'll usually stay there for most of the Masses. If there's like a Saturday Mass, I'll be there for that, and then I'll be there for the Sunday Masses as well. It just makes things smooth, and plus it gives me a chance to interact with the people, answering the usual questions that I get. And then sometimes I can use it to springboard into other issues such as transportation and disability.
So what are the questions you normally get? What are like the top three questions you normally get?
How many pieces? How many figures? And how long does it take to make?
So the three have asked you.
That's just the top three. Although when I was doing a school display, and actually when I was in Midland, Michigan, too, at the parish there, one of the kids asked, how much does it cost? That was a new question for me.
So, and that's from the mouth of babes. Like, that's a really good question. How much does it cost to make one of these?
My answer to the parents at the time was a lot. I have a lot of money that's invested in the parts because Leica was not cheap, even on the secondary markets.
So
it takes a lot of effort to secure the parts, and then from there to maintain everything. I sometimes have to replace boards and other parts on that, and that can cost a little bit of money.
You said a moment ago that the typical church takes 25,000 to 30,000 Legos. Now, how do you get your Legos? I know you said it costs a lot of money. Do you accept donations for them or anything like that as well?
Yeah, what will happen is I will get donations to the PayPal, or I'll have some people buy stuff for the Amazon wish list. And from there, I'll use the funds available to go on to like a third marketplace called BrickLink, where I'll order the specific pieces that I happen to need at the time. I usually try and do most of my parts ordering before I start building because I don't like delays. Because you have to figure it's going to take me about a month to a month and a half to build one of my projects. I'm usually starting this usually at the end of January, and I will go through at least February and through most of March in most cases. This year for season 24, this one took a little bit less time because I started like around January 20th, and I think I had it built by Ash Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you have to transport these things, and they're not small pieces. Have there been any traveling mishaps that you've had to deal with?
You know what? Mishaps happen. A piece gets knocked out here and there. The project slides off the board until you screw it down. I've had a bell tower come back from one parish that was smashed and 20 minutes later fixed. And the project itself sits on a plywood board, which makes it fairly easy to move. And if you got like a coffee cart, that makes it a lot easier. Because you can put it on the coffee cart and just wield it. I think last year, at the end of the Christ the Good Shepherd display, my one friend moved it from the vestibule of the church to his truck by himself, just with the cart alone.
Yeah, that's helpful. I mean, with 30,000 Legos, how much do you think this thing weighs?
I'm going to guess between around 50 pounds, if not a little bit more, depending.
Okay.
I think the plywood board adds a little bit of weight, and then I also know that the roof cross, there's a giant cross on top of this roof that's a solid piece, and I think that weighs about 2 pounds on its own.
Okay. Now, I know you said praying at the bricks, and you said before that building these churches is a prayer. So can you explain how it's a prayer?
Well, to dive into that, you have to focus on what my mission is. I'm a guy who has a mild form of cerebral palsy. So I'm living in the shadow of disability. And my mission with the Lego Church Project is I'm showing that no matter what challenge or disability you face, God can still use your talents. This is someone who lives this message because of what I'm doing. When I'm working on the project, I am praying with my hands. I am taking all the issues that's going on in my life, all the issues that are going on in the church, all the conflicts that I'm seeing. I am pouring that into my hands. My hands become tools of prayer. As I'm building, I am praying. And that is kind of the core of what I believe in. I believe there are many forms and many ways to pray, and this is just one example of that.
Great. I know another thing you're passionate about is evangelization. And you said a moment ago that, you know, no matter what you're dealing with, and all, you know, God can use you. And I think sometimes that's a great message for those listening, because I think sometimes we're like, you know, who am I, right? And that's the same thing that Moses asked God when you know, God told Moses to go to the Israelites that were in Egypt, right? And he's like, you know, who am I? I'm a man slow of speech and all that stuff. And look at Moses. And there's countless examples throughout Scripture. What would you say to someone who's maybe dealing with that? Like, who am I to do the work of God? What words of encouragement would you have for them?
You know what? The best way that I think of it is that there are many ways to evangelize, and not all of them are big. A kind word here and there, an act of kindness to someone who's struggling, a listening ear. There are so many different ways that we can share the faith, and not all of it has to be loud trumpet blasts. I know that with my work, I certainly have a large statement that I'm making, but it also goes back down to the smallest of things. Giving someone a ride to church, giving someone a ride to the store when they need to. There are so many different ways to reach out and to help the community around you, whatever you do for the least of God's children. And I think that really, really shines forth in some of the things that we do these days.
Oh, amen. So during the course of these displays, I know you said that you talked about the top three questions that you normally get, but how has doing this project allowed you to evangelize to those who come and see it?
Because I'm showing that no matter what challenge you face, I'm proof that, yeah, I've got a malformed cerebral palsy. Yeah, I don't work, but here God is taking the most unlikely person with the most unlikely medium and doing something for almost 25 years that still even today it's kind of a surreal experience for me, because this is the last thing I ever thought I'd be doing. To even be coming onto a radio program to talk about faith and disability. And what's been very important for me, though, too, in the last year, I've started doing a little bit more presentations with my work. So it's not just about showing the project off, but it's also talking about disability, talking about being more inclusive in our parishes and having more of an open mind to treating people fairly, no matter what disability or challenge that they face. And some people see their disability as a challenge, some don't. Some people have found very creative ways to navigate around life. I know I have. And so for me to be able to come out to a parish to share my talents, to share the faith, and to give hope and encouragement. I remember last year I was visiting a parish over in St. Louis, Michigan, which is about an hour from me, and a grandmother came up to me with her grandson, and she said that her grandson had just been diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And that I, because of my own struggles with it, have given them hope. That's the kind of stuff I love to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, one of the things I'm passionate about is the issue of disability. And I know you've shared your story a little bit. And I know you wrote an article about this on Where Peter Is, and the editor, Mike, was kind of letting me repost it on my Pathios blog. But let's talk about that issue for a minute, because I think it's a lot of I think a lot of people deal with it, but maybe because we don't see it firsthand as a general parish, we don't see it as an issue. What is the issue there? I mean, it's kind of a broad question to start off with, but what is the issue?
Well, it's a broad question, but you also know what I'm going to answer, because I've talked about it so many times. It is the issue of transportation in the churches. Not a lot of parishes have any easy way for someone who does not have their own transportation to get to Mass. I know that I have certainly run into problems myself, and while I have a ride 99% of the time, what do I do when that person's unavailable? They've got to be able to live their life too. They got to be able to go on vacation and whatnot. So it becomes a challenge to try and figure out, well, who can I ask? When you're already struggling mentally with the fact that you already have to rely on so many people to live, you don't always know who your contacts are. You don't always know who in the parish could you reach out to. And the parishes, whether it is through liabilities or whatnot, they're not exactly in a position where they can do much help right now. And the transportation is very much an unrealized need. Since that article came out and since I shared it with a lot of people, one of the usual reactions that I get is, well, wow, I never knew that there was an issue. That's because you never tried to find anyone that may need assistance. Mm-hmm. It can be very embarrassing to ask for help. I know in my own walk, that has certainly been a challenge for me. Asking for help on any level is not something I'm exactly known for. It's not exactly something that I'm comfortable with, because you get into this negative mindset sometimes where you feel like you're already a burden on people. And that may not necessarily be the case, but your own perception of how you interact with the world can kind of lead to that conclusion. And it's something that I certainly struggle with when I'm trying to seek out assistance for different things. So yeah, and there's probably an unrealized need in your parish where there may be someone, especially if it's an older person who doesn't have family still in the church or even close by. I know that there are family members, or my parents, I know they help some people from their church to get to Mass because that person is no longer able to drive as well. There was an older lady that they were taking care of and helping out for a long time. So the need is very much there. You just have to figure out what the best way to take on this challenge. Is it possibly through the Knights of Columbus? Is this something that they could take up as a ministry for them? Could the parish make it easier for people to find rides? There's a lot of challenges with that because, of course, we live in this society where liability is a major factor and no one wants to get sued.
Right. So how do you think the parishes can help fill this need? We could say, they can provide transportation, but what are some steps that parishes can take or we as the parishioners can take to help this need?
I think the easiest way would to find volunteers who'd be willing to give rides and keep a list of names at the main office. I think with the development of social media, I think that would make things a lot easier. People can contact each other directly. That's always a possibility. I think that there's a lot of different avenues. I've heard of some parishes that are doing ride shares. I'd like to see a little bit more of I'd like to see a program developed through more of a diocesan level, or once again, through the Knights of Columbus, a literal disability or transportation ministry, if you will. That's one of the things that I would love to see happen to make it easier, to take a lot of the guesswork and a lot of the confusion of trying to figure out how you're going to get to Mass. And I see these posts on social media where you got people saying, well, get to Mass. Okay, you're going to give me a ride? And usually I'll usually get crickets after that one.
I don't know, my parish, you spoke about the Knights of Columbus a second ago. Somehow my Knights of Columbus Council, and they've been doing this for quite a while. I guess when times were really, really good, they were able to procure one of those little buses that's like 14, 15 people. You know which ones I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
And so, our grand knight, well now our former grand knight, he volunteers every Sunday. He goes and picks up these 14, 15 people, brings them the 9:30 Mass, takes them home after coffee and donuts. And he says the appreciation that he gets every single Sunday, he said sometimes he picks people up and they're crying because maybe this is their first time out of the house in a week. Whatever the case is. And he's like, it's such a blessing to be able to do this.
So. And we need more of that. We truly need more of that. And if organizations are willing to commit to helping us, and a lot of it boils down to this attitude and mindset that we need to start looking at more ways to reach out. The parishes that I see that are thriving, regardless of form of mass, are the ones that are doing the outreach. They're the ones that are making themselves available in their community. They're the ones that have got the different programs going on and that are well put together. And I think that's very important. I think our parish communities could benefit from a program like this where we're helping each other out, where we go back to that spirit of the early church, where it was a community where everyone was helping each other. And I think over the generations, we've kind of moved away from that. And I think we're starting to see the challenges that have come from that kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been around to quite a few parishes over the course of your ministry at the Lego Church Project. And what are some of those churches out there that are flourishing? What programs have you seen that they're utilizing to evangelize and get out into the community?
I've seen food drives. I've seen a lot more of an online presence from them, where you see their Facebook pages being utilized, sharing information, sharing events. I've seen there's one parish where they're doing showings of The Chosen, where they've also got movie nights. They've got talks on stuff that's going on, lecture series, soup and supper kind of things. There's a lot of different things that our parishes are doing, and I think that it's a good way to build community and to get to know who your neighbor is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so 24 years, John, you've been doing this project. Where do you see season 25 going?
You know, I don't know yet. I've already been studying season 24, what I like about it, what I would change on it. And it's actually not too early to start planning for the 25th year of this. I would like to do a modest celebration just because of the fact that 25 years.
Right.
And just even saying that, it's still kind of this like, I'm doing this 25 years. Are you kidding me? I really can still get my head around the fact that I built season 24. The design process is always starts early because you want to get an idea of what you could do, what you can improve upon. And there's a lot of things about season 24 that I just outright love. And it did present some rather interesting challenges. But you have to figure, though, despite some of the technical challenges that went into it, especially with some of the sections with the way that they're constructed, I am not an engineer at all. In fact, I probably if an engineer was to actually study my work, he'd probably question my logic on a few things. But just trying to get things set up so they can support each other. And just, wow, I'm trying to try and figure out something that's new and creative. But also, too, I'd like to try and do a throwback to some of the previous years. I've done that before where I've brought direct elements from previous seasons into the next build. But I really won't know what I could end up doing for 25 until I actually sit down and pray at the bricks.
So how has doing this project allowed you to defend the faith?
It gives people a chance to see what the church is like without actually having to set foot inside a church. Because I try and make things as realistic as I can present the faith in a way that's not intimidating. So if you've got a non-Catholic that is curious about my work, they don't have to feel uncomfortable about trying to step foot inside an actual Catholic church. They can actually see a 3D representation of the church. And one of the things that's kind of noted about my work is that I do feature people with disabilities inside my projects. I've got people with wheelchairs, power chairs, a couple service dogs this year. So I do have that very visible representation, which I think is important when evangelizing, because we should all have a place inside our church.
Now, I've known you for a few years now. What are some places What's the farthest place that you've taken the project?
Oh, that's going to be a toss-up. For last year, I went to parishes in Gladwin and Harrison, which are about an hour from me one direction. And then I went to St. Louis last year, which is another hour from me. And these are fairly rural communities. I think the farthest, though, that I've gone to with the project, and this has been like, 10, 12 years, if not longer, there's a parish out in Troy, Michigan called St. Anastasia. And I did a couple of displays with them. I've also been down to Redford at Our Lady of Loretto, although that was like way back. I think the last time I was there was maybe season seven, maybe. So we're talking like long time ago. It's been a good number of years since I've really done a long distance display somewhere. And in terms of if parishes are listening into this, representative parishes are listening into this and want to have me out, something to keep in mind is I will go where the Lord sends me. Even if I can't see all the details working out, I figure that if the Lord wants me at a parish, he will work out those details and things will come together. And that's what's happened the last couple of displays I did. The Midland right. display from last year, which is one of the last ones I did before Christ the Good Shepherd, that one came together in a couple of weeks. We had everything planned up and everything, and it was a beautiful time for me out there.
All right. Well, John, we actually have a caller, so let me go ahead and bring him on. I think this is our founder of the Four Persons, John. So let me bring him on. One second.
How you doing, William? How you doing, Mr. Kramer? I just had one question for you. I'd like to know, what do you think was the most significant church that you've recreated?
Oh, man. Each parish I've built on my own design always has its own story with it. The one church that does stand out to me above some of the others would have been season 18, because that is the one that I had the first time I used the Father Solanas picture inside. I went to a couple different parishes that year, including one of my favorite places to go, All Saints in Bay City, Michigan. It was kind of an interesting story with the Father Solanas photo, because I was about halfway done with the church at the time, and I decided at the last second to call the Father Solanas Center down in Detroit, see if I could get a pamphlet or something that had a picture so I could include the picture inside the project. And sure enough, I was able to do that. When they announced the beatification, I made a minor change towards the before I did the Christ the Good Shepherd display, and I put a version of the relic cross in there. So, yeah, that's got a personal importance to me.
All right, thank you.
All right, so John, you've shared the project in quite a few mediums. Can you share with our audience some of the like shows and everything where you've shared about your project?
Oh, I've been on so many different, over the years, I've had the chance to have a lot of different write-ups. Usually starting off in the local press, Saginaw News /MLive. I think 2016, 17 was the last article that I had written up from them. That one hit the Associated Press wire. I've been on a couple Catholic television. I've been on Sunrise Morning several different times, and that is always fun. I hope Matt has me come out again for that one, because that's always a fun time to talk about stuff. One of the more recent interviews I did was with the local journalist, independent journalist, Dave Bondi. I had a chance to sit down with him. And that was one of the rare ones where you actually get to see the project in the background, because I actually recorded that one where the project's currently sitting at, which is currently in a commons area here in Saginaw Township where I live. And so to be able to have that actual in the background was kind of important for me. And it kind of puts into scope the actual size of this, because this is not a small project.
Right. Well, I know Matt Swaim, one of the hosts of the Sunrise Morning Show, and of course he does a lot of work with the Kim and Coming Home Network. When I reposted your article about the transportation issue, he reached out to me and was like, hey, I want to bring you on my radio show about your article. I'm like, it's actually John Kramer's article, then you already have him coming on. He's like, oh, okay, I'll just ask some questions then. So I just reposted it. He's like, all right, sounds good. He's a laid-back guy. So
He is. And he's name-dropped me a couple times on one of the other stuff he does for Coming Home. I think the issue of transportation came up during one of the discussions, and, of course, my name got mentioned because that's the thing that I'm known for. I'm known for Lego Church Project, my devotion to Father Solanus, and the fact that I talk about transportation all the time.
John, so where can our listeners learn more about your project, see your work, and, of course, throw you a follow? Where can they do that?
They can follow me on Facebook under Lego Church Project. You can also follow my Substack, which is Praying at the Bricks. There's also a companion blog, which you can find a link to there on the Substack as well, called Building Faith, One Brick at a Time. I've also got an active presence on Twitter. You can just search for Lego Church Project and you'll find me. I post a lot of photos on there all the time, probably too much sometimes, depending on the numbers. I think I just did, like, over the course of like 3 days, posted all 24 seasons. And it's kind of good for people to have a chance to see the history of what went into the project. And sometimes I'll tell interesting little factoids, like how season one, the lights actually didn't come about until well after the project was built. And I actually had to tear the roof off, rebuild the roof so I could put the lights in.
All right. So, John, of course, the founder of Four Persons, do you have any other questions for other John, John Kramer?
Yeah, I'd like to know how we could, what would be a good way that we could open this up to people so they could view some of your work? Like links that you could give us where they could view some of the models that you've done.
Well, as I said, just share the Facebook page. I have all 24 seasons posted in the photo albums. And with the last several, I'm going to try to think, I can't remember how far back it actually goes, but many years ago, people wanted to start seeing the actual build process of what goes into making one of these. And so I started doing that. I started posting as people were following along with the build. Around January and February, when I start building, I'll start posting the photos of how things are going from the empty work board to the finished church. So I think that if people want to get a good idea as to what goes into one of my works, they can just check out the numerous photos that I have.
All right, what we'll do, William, after the show, we'll post that Facebook link in the show notes, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll post a link to the Facebook page in the group page as well. That way everyone can check it out. So, all right. Well, Mr. Kramer, J.M., John Kramer, like I said, I think this is the seventh show we've done together. The first one here. But it's always a blast talking with you, and thanks for coming on and sharing your story and what you do with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate the chance to have a conversation, a chance to talk about different things, and, of course, faith, disability, and Lego. I'm probably the only person where this all three of these kind of cross paths at the same time.
Yep. So, again, check out his work, the Substack, Praying at the Bricks, the Facebook page, the Lego Church Project, and if you search Lego Church Project in Twitter, he's the first one that pops up. I know from experience. So just check it out. He's doing a lot of great things out there. John, God bless you and what you're doing. Take care.
Take care, my friend.
All right. God bless.